He's really calling us to this open gate and to understand really some of the deeper but foundational things about this Christian life and who we really are, and just the way he thinks. I say that about the way he thinks, but we just have to understand that he doesn't think like we do. He just doesn't think like we do. And to the point that if he doesn't open up the gate, so to speak, you'll never know what he's thinking. If he doesn't open up a door, you know, you can read, but doesn't mean the door is open. You understand? I was trying to put in some very common ideas about it. So you can, you know, there's some times when I'm reading, I'm saying the gates are locked. The gates, I can't see through what the veil. I can't see past what he's trying to say. I can't see past his, I can't see into his thought life. And you need grace to see into his thought life. You can never just assume he thinks like you do. So unless you sit down and empty yourself of Taba, because too much of Taba is just not good. Probably any of Taba is not good. Pastor Rouse, am I getting close? I asked Rabbit Trail. We asked Pastor Rouse about, you know, how good. We were saying how wonderful Taba is to Pastor Rouse one day after service. And she quickly, you know, said, no. She said, at birth. She did something to your hips. I think she was coming out sideways or something. She broke your pelvis. That's your mother, yeah. So she quickly got it straight. You know, she broke my pelvis. I said, little Taba. We ready, Dre? Okay, so that was my little side journey because Dre told me to take a little bit so he can get things set up. Okay. Now we're good. Sorry, Tom. We're going to erase all of that in a minute. Okay, we're going to erase all. Tom or something. All right. So then we cannot know God unless he opens the door. And, of course, the door is invisible. And so we can read and read and read, but unless he opens the door, unless he says, okay, come in here. Like Christina was saying, there's this invite. He'll open the doors of worship, and then you come into those. You know, you would stand at the gates until the doors are open. Then you go into something that's not created by man. And that's the whole condition of walking in the Spirit and what the church is supposed to be like. We should always be going inside of something that's beyond us. Right? We should always be going in something that's beyond us. It's always in the Spirit. It's never natural. We always have to go into something beyond us. So God's thinking like this. And even if I'm reading it, I still have to get an entrance into it. So he would say things like this in scripture. David would say things like this. The entrance of his word brings light, right? It has to be an entrance. It has to be, it's not just reading his word gives light. It's entrance into it, right? And so since Taba got sort of on a bad note, so God, we thank you for the entrance of your word, giving her understanding and light and it's revelation to the simple, okay? So you have people tell you all the time. That's real, by the way. You have people tell you all the time, I don't understand the Bible. Why? Because there's no entrance in, right? They're trying to get in on their own reason. There always has to be an entrance. There always has to be an entrance. You know, it's even like when the Lord said to Ward at the beginning, there always has to be an unsealing and an opening up of something to see who you, that can never, it can never come by natural understanding. It can never come, you can kick the door, you can bang on the door, you can pound on it, but unless there's an entrance, there's nothing happens. And so that's indicative of, for instance, when Adam and Eve fell and they got kicked out the garden. Well, you can't get back in unless God gives you entrance back in. And really, that's one of the things salvation is all about, is getting back in. But you see, it's only in your nothingness can you get back in. In other words, if you come to the gate of the garden full of Robert, you will never get into it. You have to be in emptiness so God can start to put him in you for you to understand. All right, so that's the background. That's going to increase us all next week, because you're going to say, God, I'm at your feet. Okay, open up, let me in. And Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody open the door, there's got to be entrances, guys. There's got to be entrances in and out. That can't be just a mental thing. That you have to experience. I felt myself go into God today. Right? Oh, I felt God come inside of me today. It's always an in and out kind of thing. It's never linear where you're reading and you think you understand it with your mind. You still don't understand it because he doesn't think like you. There has to be an interest in and out, right? So it's in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. All right. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter. It's got to be enter his courts with praise. Enter, enter, enter. So there's a lot of non-entering that goes on in the name of religion, if I can. But we want to still look good. So we said we sung it. We said it. God's word said it. But there was really no interest in and out. It's like Carolyn, she's, you know what entrance is to us? It's when we die and go to heaven, we think we enter in, but some of you are going to get fooled because you never entered in down here. You're going to be so fooled. Some people, not you guys. Mm-hmm. But you got to get used to entering, you know. So Paul would write in Corinthians, you know, so to go in, Pastor Glow, to the feast, you have to enter in with certain clothes on. Just trying to give more examples of it, right? So you got to have your wedding clothes on. You have to have your wedding garments to enter into, you know. Come, he said, enter into the joys of the Lord. Come entering into the joy. So we have to enter into him. We have to enter into praise. We have to enter into the gates. We have to enter in. And you can never do it by might or power, but by your spirit. So if God has mercy on you, he says, come with me. We're going to enter into this new kind of life. It has to be a spirit to the whole thing. So until we learn to enter in, he won't let me stop. Until we learn that there has to be an entrance that we must go into. You don't confess your way to salvation. You enter into it. You enter into a person. Pastor Mike, have you had the entering experience yet? And that's why Nicodemus didn't understand, you know, it's nothing of the flesh. I've been born of a woman once, but now God's saying that you need to enter into, even to this point. At his birth, Christ entered into Mary, right? He entered into him, to her rather. And then he came out of her, right? It's always an in and out. It's always an in and out. It's always an in and out. I can be at home praying sometimes or reading, and you just sort of, but then all of a sudden I enter in somewhere. Light comes on, revelation flows, heaven is right there. And so we get keener then. We find something that we can never find any other way. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord. It's not external. It's something that you enter into. And you start to find a peace that she was talking about. You enter into, you know, you enter into, you know, peace. It's not external. It's something that you enter into. And just because you said, thank God, that the peace of God enter into her, okay? Or, you know, peace is a person. He enters into her. It's not really something he gives you. It's something that he, you know, he steps inside you and enters into you and then gives you his peace, okay? So what I said had nothing to do with that, but it's on me because many people are laboring outside the gate. Many people are laboring outside the door. And so God, let me come into it, then find eternal life. Let me find something. Let me enter into it and find it. All right. So I'm going to say like the old fashioned preachers say, can you say amen, somebody? So here's what the Holy Spirit has to, he has got to say this to us today. So this is what we're entering into today. Here's what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today. Here's what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today. To the point that, and I don't do this often, but I'm just going to read and expound a little bit. I think that's what I'm going to do. But before I start, so this whole thing about the complete purpose of God for your life has been so, it's so important. And it's the path that we have to walk on. And I say, I think I put up there the wheels, right? And that, because this is always churning. Now, we had a good time with Tina Turner's song, Big Wheels Keep On Turning. Holy Ghost Keep On Burning. Okay, so he's always turning and burning for this one particular thing in mind, right? That's what he's got. It's like wheels. And they never stop. It's the wheel within the wheel. Like, it never stops. And so I have to say it like this from him because the point is, he's got no other purpose for you. And the wheels are turning like this, like they're turning hard. Even when you're asleep, they're turning. Even when your mother gave you your name, the wheels were turning. Even when you were breaking the hip or whatever, they would turn the hip or pelvic, whatever. They never stopped turning because they were there from the foundation of the world. See, since the fall, God had just like, oh, here's it. What did I name this? Okay. So you guys see this. So we're going to read and we're going to expound. And if you have a point, you know, flick your hand or whatever, but you got to keep it short. Okay. Cause we got some reading. But I want you, if God reveals something to you in the midst of us, see, we're one house, one family, one people. If you get something, because I'm one person, I could left out 1,000 things, you know, we all work together on this thing, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Treva, can you blow? I want her to blow before we start. He blows cleaner. Come on, man. You got to hear me.
Hallelujah.
Okay, D, let's start with the notes. You felt that. Oh, we heard that. Okay. The goings on of God or the wills of God are to this issue in of what? Glorifying humanity. Okay, what Adam lost, God said, okay, the wheels start turning. I got to give them their glory back. Man, did you know you had a glory? Yeah. See, we always say Christ is glorified, and that's good. That's good, good. But you know, you got to be glorified with him. The only reason he came, he didn't have to leave glory himself. He came and left glory so that he can take on human glory or your glory. Okay? Can y'all hear that? Man lost his glory. So here comes, he didn't have any other reason to come. See, you think it was just for forgiveness of sins. That's the low part of it. Of course, it's absolutely necessary, but all, that was all to an end, to restore not to his glory, to his original glory. See, and I'm going to explain that a little bit further here. So, you know, you can work and live and fight and be successful and have $100 million, but something's still missing. The glory you had. That you lost before the foundation of the world, right? You, Robert, you lost your glory. Robert, you were Ichabod, right? Rob, you lost your glory. You said, Lord, I'm going to church, but you still lost your glory. Lord, I know scripture, but you still lost your glory. It's like someone would say, I went to this church and I had a good time for 5 years. I went to this church, I had a good time for 10 years. I went to this church, I had a good time for 5 years, but something was still missing. And the preacher would say, well, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? We had a good time today. We screamed and shouted. We had a good time. Something's still missing. And so something's still missing. You are on his God's only entrance, and your pathway to his original purpose of man is man being glorified. That's the pathway. It's everything is a pathway. All right. I want to preach so bad, but go ahead, D, to the next one. The divine. So here's, I gotta share myself. So here's incarnation. Jesus came. Left his glory. And then, so he left all of his glory. See, he didn't have to come. He left all his glory so that you and I can get our glory back. So his incarnation was just, now he becomes a man. Now he's become Taba with the glory on him. He left his deity glory. Remember it says in Philippians, he set aside his own glory. Then he took on Robert's to do what? To take on Robert's original glory that he lost at the fall. Are y'all with me? He became flesh, right? God became flesh, God became Robert, and dwelled amongst us. So, in other words, it would have been what Robert looked like if he hadn't fallen with Adam and lost the glory. Robert's life, if he hadn't lost the glory, would have looked like Christ's life that you read in the Gospels. Is that too fast? Because Jesus took on flesh. God became fleshed. God became Raquel and dwelt among us. Okay. In other words, what else is flesh? What else is flesh? What else is flesh but Roz, that God in Roz? What else is flesh dwelling among us? Is God inside of her, right? And Roz walking in the glory that Adam lost, that God would never, ever have let, I'm just going to let that part go. Oh, no, that's the whole purpose of everything. That are we doing okay? Okay. So he climbs inside flesh. He climbs inside humanity. He climbs inside Mark. Even in Mark's wicked state, he climbs inside of him and say, now my spirit can dwell on the inside of you. D, let's flick to Psalms 8. Let's flick to Psalms 8. I like this part. I like the part above verse 1. To the choir director. To the choir director. She trying to chastise me. To the choir director. A psalm of David to be accompanied by string instrument. Trevor, blow the horn. Blow the horn. This is what our music should be like. We shouldn't be singing in the... I hear this. It's to the choir director. In other words, our psalms got to be on this level right here. And our playing, oh Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the whole earth. That was starting to happen this morning. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Okay. Children and infants tell of your strength, of God's strength, not yours. In other words, when he can take all our strength away and start being the strength of our life, then we're going to tell of his strength all the time. We're going to know we have zero. And that he's got it all, right? When you look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God. And what else did he do? He crowned them. I'm getting right back to what was lost. Open their eyes to what they're really here for. Have dominion over the birds and the fish and the air and everything, just a little lower than God himself. And they lost that glory. To the musician on the stringed instrument, he's playing in the glory. Right? To the choir leaders, this is all you can sing about. Look, he crowned them, Pastor Jerry, he crowned them with glory and honor. What did he say? He gave them charge of everything you ever made. You put all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and the wild animals, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and everything that swims, the ocean, currents, even the currents. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how your majestic name fills the earth. Hebrews. Oh, you got it. How you get there? God, for whom through all everything was made, chose to bring many children where? Into glory. All right. So Jesus is coming. That virgin birth, that incarnation, was him just coming down from heaven, laid aside his own deity glory, and I'm going to take on a different kind of glory. I'm going to take on Pastor Glow's glory. See, you're called to glory. You're called to take on a heavenly glory. Do you know why Acts is so powerful? It's the first when he, because Peter, James, John, they found their glory that they were missing. They found a glory that they were missing. So if it was a sick man, he just walked by him, and the glory that was on man got the man healed, you know. They just found the glory. It wasn't just God's will, whatever. They found the glory. This is the whole book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit giving back the glory to men. But it's always in Christ, of course. But, you know, he's giving back the glory of men. They started acting like Christ. The human glorified Christ. Are y'all listening? The human glorified Christ. The man Christ Jesus. You know, that's why it was always important. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Or have you received the Spirit of glory in your heart since you believe? You just can't believe. You got to have the Spirit of glory in your heart dwelling there. Then that's got to grow and grow and grow. You grow. Back to the incarnation, D. Trying to take it slow, right? Trying to take it slow. Everybody with me? The divine Son in incarnation came along that path of his relationship to the man that was to be his inheritance, man as a whole. And so for the moment, he dispensed with the deity glory, came down on man's level without glory, and adopted the pathway to man's glory, right? He adopted the pathway to man's glory. So Pastor grabs Mike and say, okay, come with me on the path to glory. Okay, I'm going to convince you of it. Remember, see them scriptures you always read? Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8, D. Let's look at Romans 8. I'm sorry if I keep going around. Look at that. For whom he foreknew, you already know where I'm going, right? He foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. He's glorified. I'm going to keep going. And whom he foreordained, he also called. And whom he also called, he justified. And then whom he justified. See, your only direction in life is to keep, you know, to keep growing in glory. Less of you, more glory. Less of you, more glory. Okay. All right. Back to incarnation, D. And I'm going to go in the ways of God. Yeah. In the ways of God, the incarnation is the way to relate himself to man. In other words, to take man's course through the grace of God and by the divine nature indwelling him, be conformed into a divine likeness, and then be crowned with a divine glory. That is our history. And he worked out our history in Christ Jesus. Are y'all following me? He worked out our history in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did you have something? Don't hold back on me, Mark. He worked out our history in Matthew. He was the servant in Mark, right? You want to know what a really servant of God looks like? Look at the book of Mark. But that's you. It's a glory servant, serving by glory, not by your own strength. You want to look at the kingliness of man and look at Matthew, you know. Yes, yes.
I looked at a film a couple of nights ago that was called The Move of the Spirit. And I was watching these men of God just walk past people, and they just kind of floated out of the chair, or they fell on the floor, or, you know, things were happening because the Spirit, the anointing was so strong on them that men, flesh, could not stand under it. And so I was crying out to God, what is it? And it was the glory that I saw. But of course, I thought it was only through, which it is only through Christ, but the glory was on those men to be able to walk.
The same as it was on Christ. The works I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these, right? John 17:22. Oh, you have something? Oh.
John 17:22 says, I gave them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. John 17:22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one.
So that's what was happening in the movie or whatever. Sure, it was Pastor Love was, you know. That's John 17:22 was on there. The book of Acts was on there. By the way, to share this is not my idea. Y'all understand this? I never would have shared this. And I never would have shared. But you know, you can get to a point where your will gets so submerged that only his will counts. And so when you see incarnate Christ in the Gospels, you see God's wonderful plan, purpose, and turning wheels for your life, for your life. When you see Christ in the Gospels, you see your life glorified. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's heaven's bells constantly ringing. It's a new day and a new age. It's dying to the old and living in resurrection life. It's plan, his plan finally being released from a sleep and an ugly bondage, death, that completely mastered him and awakening you to a whole new morning. To the choir director, what is man that you are mindful of him? You crowned him with glory. And Jesus said, the glory that I have, I'm going to give to them that we may be one. Let's keep going, D. This is the incarnation and the very explanation of those words. He became flesh and tabernacled among us. Look, far from being an isolated incident in Bethlehem, stable, it was the thing most exposed to the whole universe. And all the universe was interested in taking knowledge. Angels and mighty hosts took an account of it. Heaven looked on it and joined in. Man, wise and unlearned, rich and poor, gathered around in wonder, interested in this. Why? Because somehow they knew they were related to it in a representative way. The whole thing in the barn or in the stable, the whole universe was interested in it. And even man, somewhere secretly down here, that's somehow me. I can't figure it out. But why does the whole universe converge on this? The devil himself. Somehow that's me. You know, Pastor Jerry, this is really when the scripture comes in. With God, all things are possible. See, we use it for our little situations and stuff like that. We want to use that. No, what he really means is, matter of fact, who said that in scripture? Y'all remember who said? Yeah. That's all about the incarnation, isn't it? It's not about your situation that you, I mean, it can be about that. But what it's really about is that it's possible for your glory to return to you that Adam lost. That's the cross, Mike. That's the blood. That's the redemption. That's restoration. Christ became a man to be like you. Christ became a man to be like you and return to you your glory that you lost. You know, we flirt around. We want to do this. We want to be successful. How's this? Can you see that something happened in that stable that was meant for you? See, we hear this stuff and then we go off trying to be successful. But you miss your moment. You miss your stable moment. That's why the angels were all around there. That's why the Trevor. That's why the horn blew. That's. Ooh, doo, doo, doo. Yeah, don't put it away. Listen to your husband once. All the angels, the stars, the angels, everything's meaningful. Nothing's left out. Nobody's left out. All creation is groaning, waiting for you to have the glory back on you. The horn blew. Everything took notice. Look, even the devil took. We got to kill that seed. I want to take Treva home with me. Because every time she blow, oh. My glory is coming back. Keep it short. Sure. You know, we should be able to blow that shofar. And your missing sons and daughters. Something happened that represented me. And finally, the shofar blew, and I heard it.
We are receiving this in our spirits, because on that day when his shofar blow, we're going to be used to it. This is not bragging rights, but we're entering in. We're knowing him. We're knowing his voice. So on that day, when the trumpet sounds, it won't be like, oh, what's that? It's going to be.
To the musicians, the chief musician, to the string. You know what? Treva texted me this morning. Should I bring the shofar? I said nothing to her about a shofar. God knows. See, more than the words of this message, it's the sound of it. See, it's not the word, it's the sound, right? You know, and intellectually, I got the words, but can you hear the sound? Respond to the sound. The chief musician, something about the sound of the instrument. It's something about the sound of the shofar. It's something about the sound of the keyboard. Thank you, Cheryl, for playing today, too. It's something about the sound. Somewhere in that stable, Bernardine was there in a representative way. And God says, all I want you to do now is follow me out of this stable. That's all. I don't need you to do religious works. I don't need you to prove anything to me. Just get in the stable and follow me from there. I don't care about all what church try to make you do. Just get in the stable. Hear the sound. Hear the angels rejoicing and follow. That's look. Don't go from there, but just you got to follow. It's a clarion call. Janique, something else got birth that was out of this world. And that was your birth as well. Hell was interested. Something else got birthed, and you and I have to follow that birth all the way through. In other words, God got in man, something totally different from his natural nature, and start developing something on a whole different level, right? On a whole different level. But then you have to have the boldness and courage to follow that. Hell was interested, right, at that stable. Hell was interested. Hell rose up through Herod. Remember, Herod was killed all the babies and stuff like that. Because why? As it has never risen up against any, never risen up against anything that pointed toward just that one person. Why? Why was he so mad? Why? Why? The royal seed was ever the object of Satan's hatred. And here he is. And so hell converges for that seed's destruction. Because if I kill that seed, then it won't grow into another seed. Remember, he's the firstborn of bringing many to glory. He's the firstborn of bringing many to glory. So if he can kill that seed, then Mike can't come to glory, right? So he couldn't kill a seed, so he brought us religion. Y'all, listen. He couldn't kill the seed, so he brought religion, right? He said, okay, I'm going to stick Bernardine in the church. The only way I'm going to kill that thing. That religion, church, and killing the seed are the same. That's what religion is, killing the seed. So all hell said, so we're going to converge on this thing. See, Jesus is the center of the universe and incarnation. I'm not sure what I did here. Heaven is constantly, take the you out. Heaven is constantly ministering into that situation. Why? Because this is on a grand scale. It's not just... It's all universal. So heaven's saying, we're going to make sure this thing, the wheels turn, right? The wheels turn. We're going to make sure this thing working. At the same time, hell is constantly rising up. Men are gathering around. Nature joins in. The sun glows. What you said earlier. Here's a go. The sun hides his face. And a mighty earthquake takes place on the cross. Remember that? In other words, this is no ordinary man. This relates to the whole purpose of what? God in man. Trying to remember where we are, D. Everything out of Christ. Everything comes out of Christ. Come. Okay. So today we're entering in. Okay. Today we're entering in where it's just not knowledge or the Bible or information. We're actually entering into it. And when you enter in, you see your own life. By the Spirit, you see your life. And you see how worthless our efforts are to get it. The only way is to enter in and let it take care of us. Because it's already been done before the foundation of the world, right? There's nothing you can do but enter in. It's all you can do, Tyler, is enter in. That's all you can do. That's why it's all called faith, because faith, what faith does is enter in. It's nothing for you to work out. In other words, you got born in the stable. You didn't even know about that. God did it all. Remember Paul would say, if God, you are in Christ Jesus. He did it all for you. Revelation speaks of the woman clothed with the sun. You guys remember that scripture in Revelation? That is the glorious end of her triumph. But you know where that woman began? When the sun went down. God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, right? And out of him, he formed the woman. Way back before Taba broke the pelvis. Out of darkness on the cross, when the sun went down. Remember what happened on the cross? The sun went down. And the church was born out of Christ. It was prophetic. Adam, Eve coming out of Adam when the sun down went. So the scripture says in Genesis, the sun went down. He put Adam into a sleep, and then he pulled the woman out of his side when the sun went down. So on the cross, the sun went down. There was darkness all over. The earth quaked. Out of him, he pulled you out of Christ's side. Right? One point is God saw it way back then, and he just prophesied. That's why... It was just you. Getting your glory back. And the church represents the mighty resurrection life and power of Christ, because the sun has come back in full splendor out of the darkness, out of the clouds of the cross. You remember Crystalline said up here this morning, it's like we're coming out of the clouds. And sunlight was, didn't you say something like that? And the woman is clothed with the sun. It was out of the dark night of eclipse, the night of eclipse, that the church had her birth, as did Eve in the hour when the sun went down. Then the church, Pastor Jerry, comes right into the resurrection glory of the Son of God, and at last takes her place in heaven, where the dragon and the whole host are cast out. And no place is found for him any longer. The woman takes her place there in the glorious triumph of his resurrection life. The sun is back shining again, Chris, in his splendor. These are divine thoughts behind things. These are divine thoughts behind things. God has simply caused everything that has to come from his hand to be impregnated with something more that is of his own spiritual nature, so that the spiritual is the ultimate, the real. Paul says, we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen that are eternal. We must have eyes to see through things on the surface. Truth is never real to the carnal earthly man. It's never real to you. It's never real to the carnal earthly man. It's never real. You can read it. You can preach it to them. It's never real to them until they enter into something else. It can't be real to them. They might understand it with their heads, but it's never real to them inside. And that means they can't live it. That's really what Jesus meant when he said the truth will set you free. You come into him and it sets you free from everything outside of it. All right, D, I'm not sure where we are. Go to the next. Oh, no, no, okay. If you can find while I'm talking, if you take this very thought into the book of Revelation, if you can find that, and we'll end up there. Oh, good. Let's find ourselves in Christ Jesus. Everything had purpose. Everything had life. Everything, born in the stable, you were there with him. If you take this very thought into the book of Revelation, it'll be key to that book. Here he is, this risen one, now risen and triumphed in this heavenly glory presented in the first chapter with all his excellencies. Remember Revelation 1? He's clothed, he's got hair, flame of fire, he's got this breastplate. And then he chastens the church before him and says, what? In effect, I am not a bit concerned. I'm not a bit. You working on it? Oh. This is what, he wrote to the seven churches in Revelation. I'm not a bit. I'm not a bit concerned about how much you work you are doing for me. Not concerned about your standards of your right and wrong, about this or that or the other thing which seems to concern you. It concerns you so much. I'm concerned about how you stand in the light of God's true purpose. Conformity to the image of the Son of God. That which is to be glorified as the outworking and consummation of the God's indwelling nature. We justified. Can I bring you, Raquel, from justification to glorification? You know where the church is stuck? Justification. Who he justified. Can you follow the process to be glorified? The churches have got to measure up to Christ, not to creeds, not to standards of good and bad, but to Christ. And Christ glorified. Do I have more? Is that it? Okay. Are you moving toward this? Is the divine nature working in you? Are you being continually conformed to the divine image? That's the whole challenge. All right, good. So anybody have anything? No, good. All right, so anybody? Look, okay, don't flinch, don't grin, don't wink, don't blink your eye, don't blow your nose or anything, because if you do, you're going to get called on something. You know, Shanique just not going to let me go. All right. I know Pastor Jerry got something. She's just trying to sit on it for a minute. The beginning of the notes, D, that's where we'll leave off. I mean, that's where we'll end up. The goings are wheels of God. You got something? You did flinch, yeah. Jesus. Peter said, thank God that we're partakers of the divine nature. Yep. Yeah, okay. Now, the wheels, the big wheel keep on turning, Pastor Jerry. Them big wheels keep on turning. You know, when the Lord going to come to his glory? Ward thinks that, thank God that he got a new job. Thank God that he got a new house. Thank God he got a new car. Thank God that he got a new, thank God his children going to college. Thank God that he's now the executive manager of the job. Thank God. But he's still missing. Dre, surface level. Thank you. Those goings or wheels of God are to issue in the glorifying of humanity. His only interest, your pathway to his original purpose is being glorified. And there are three things which belong to man's, your spiritual history. One, begins in a new birth, a partaker of the divine nature. That's where it begins. That's the justified. Two, the process begins of conformity to the divine nature or divine image, right? I think we're going to do a child project here, the image of God. You better make sure you include yourself in that. And three, it consummates with a view, the crowning with glory. So we're going through this whole process. Going through the whole process, right? We get new birth. We get the indwelling. Now, my whole thing now is God's purposing that you come into his image again. That's why Paul would write to the Galatians, you know, I labor that God's image would be formed in you again. You got back into legalism, and you got out of him forming his image inside of you. And then it's all going to be for his glory. Divine goings is based upon indwelling of the divine nature, and the process is being developed of that divine nature, over against everything that's contrary to it. The Lord is fighting the battle through this to the end. All right, so I didn't expect a lot of excitement. I expect a lot of, I did expect a lot of wows, and I got them. Come on, Pastor Jerry, unhook. Okay, you good? You don't have anything? Anybody have any closing? Okay, unhook. I mean, you unhook.
We have in the church have been so confused, so misinformed that when we look at this, God gave a fresh revelation to me. In Genesis, what was the first thing in the divine nature did God declare? We are going to make them in our image. He made Adam with the image, the glory of God. The first thing the devil did was he's like, I've got to trick them and get them from recognizing who they are. And he tricked them by saying, you can be like God. You're already in his image, but you can be like God. And Adam, the human, the firstborn, fell. Now we are realizing what he lost. He lost the glory of God. And thereafter, all the generations that followed Adam were lost, had lost the glory. And man never recognized God's glory. Struggled to be like God, to do things of God, but never recognized the glory of God. And it took so long that God, Jesus, had to say, I will become human. And when I become human, I will bring man back to the divine. Out of the natural, but back into the divine. Back into the heavenly. And when Jesus took the, he knew what it was going to cost. But he said to the Father, let your will be done. I don't want to die. I don't want to be killed. I don't want to be sacrificed. But let your will be done. And in taking that approach, that's when the first Adam lost it. But Jesus becoming the second Adam restored it. And now, at the resurrection, we've always said, what did we lose? What did we lose? Why was Jesus willing to sacrifice and give us salvation? He was giving us back our inheritance of the glory. But man, still not seeing in the divine, missed it. And that's why religion came into play. Because the devil realized, well, we got it. We got Adam out. Adam blew it. Man has not got it right yet. Oh, well, Jesus is here. Oh, we got to take care of Jesus. Now we got to get him. Oh, man. Okay. We got rid of Jesus. Oh, the humans, here they go again. They're catching it. Well, now we bring in religion. And now religion, for all these centuries, we're still missing it. But today, the revelation that God gave Pastor to give to us, we now know now we are to walk in the divine and allow the glory of God to indwell in us because he's coming. He's coming. And we're going to recognize the sound because we now recognize the glory, our place, and our acceptance of our inheritance.
Amen. That's James, the elder of the church. Amen. All right. Thank you, James. That's excellent. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, remember he had to go through 40 days of trial. That's all the pathway to glory. The suffering is always a pathway to glory. Jesus said, learn obedience by the things he suffered. That's a path of glory. They never complain about your trouble.
I just want to share something, and now I understand. But it's been weeks now. Every night, Kaylee wants to watch the resurrection. She wants to watch the birth and the crucifixion. I didn't understand. I kept telling Pastor Mike, why does she keep wanting to watch that? But every night, that's her. Normally, you know, we play music for them to go to sleep. But every night, it's been like two weeks or 3 weeks now, she's been wanting to watch this. So every night, I have to watch it with her. But the thing about it is that she always have a comment, like, why there's a light over him? Or why now the other? So she'll say that one night, and then the next night she'll say, oh, well, the people have the light over them too. You know, but stuff like that she'll say, never knew that, you know, this is all leading up to being the glory of God. My point is that our children are getting it too. You know, we may not be getting it right then and there, but our children are getting it. You know, that's just my take.
That's so good. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good.
Pastor says, make it short. It's so much rolling through me now. So much. Paul's statement that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, open. There's been a divine opening today given to us. Understanding our inheritance and our purpose. Man, that God would create us a little lower than himself and put his glory on us. It's almost like for me today, I have a new birth, a new spiritual birth. And now my birth certificate is from heaven. Everything about me now has to be in that divine realm. Everything I do, think, want, it has to be in that divine heavenly realm. Because now, like God, Jesus told Nicodemus, I've been born again. He said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom. And if you can't see the kingdom, you can't wear my glory. Everything is step by step by step. And I just thank God for revealing another mystery. I don't know about anybody else. But unfolding another mystery, Pastor Mike. Like, okay, God, here we go into this step now, into this phase, into understanding from the cradle, that low place that we don't want to get into has glory on it. It has glory on it. The 40 days, the baptisms, the healings, all of it had heaven's glory on it. And so we are thanking God at PWM today that we are entering into that. That we don't have to stand on the outside. But we're entering into our divine supernatural purpose of allowing the Holy Spirit to rest the glory of the Godhead upon us. And now we can move forward for the healings and the wonders. And, you know, we've been trying to do it in our own self. We can't do it without the glory. We cannot do it without the glory. So now, Pastor Mike, when I stand up, God, I'm standing up in your glory. When I raise my hand, it's in your glory. Everything we do now, we have to come to the consummation of is for his glory. Not from the choir director singing it. But something born down on the inside of me. He gave me something today. another space. You know, I told Pastor, we don't have to pray like Jabez. God, enlarge our territory. He's just doing it. He's just doing it, Shanique. He's giving us more capacity. 2 years ago, we'd have been sitting here looking like dumb knots if he had tried to bring that. Like, what in the world? What pastor getting this stuff from? But now we come with, Crystal, and we come with an expectation of getting something new and different and wonderful and wholesome in the spirit. We don't just come to fill these seats, but we come to be endowed. Thank you, Apostle, because my new birth is a reality. My birth certificate in heaven. God, help us to understand this. Help us to walk in it. Give us deeper revelations of it. The door is open, saints. The door of wisdom is open to walk into the glory of God. The door is open, saints. The shofar has been blown. Enter into his glory. And be let his glory be our glory.
We really don't need anything else. Father, thank you for that sanctification, that grace. Like she said, we're entering into the door of wisdom is open. We enter into it. We declare that we know nothing. Who can plan this like this? Nobody but heaven. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us a space in here. A space in here. Thank you. Some people call it a space of grace. It's an enormous place. It's an enormous place. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's to be left out. Just walk in. Drink freely. Amen.